This is the Ag Market Network's monthly cotton conference call, brought to you by Cotton Incorporated and by Certified Fibermax. You can find more online at agmarketnetwork.net.
We want to welcome everyone today to the June 11th edition of the Ag Market Network. I'm Pat McClatchy, and joined today by our panel of cotton panel, and we'll talk about them in just a minute. I want to first recognize our sponsors, Bayer Crop Science, Cotton Incorporated, and Farm Press Publications. We always need to read a little disclaimer here, so the opinion of our speakers is not necessarily the opinion of our sponsors on the Ag Market Network. So use caution in the application of any of this information. Our panel today, Dr. O.A. Cleveland, Dr. John Robinson, Gerald Nieper, and Kip Butts. And we are joined today by a special guest that occasionally joins us, and she always does an excellent job. Kelly Merritt wears many hats. She's from La Mesa, Texas. She is a farmer. She's a cotton farmer. She's a crop marketing consultant. She's a commodity broker. She knows quite a bit about all parts of the business, and we always like having her on. Kelly, thanks for being with us today and sharing your thoughts on the cotton market.
Thank you, Pat. It is always a pleasure to be here. And as you asked me this morning when I first called in, I am in a boat. It's extremely unusual weather here in West Texas, and I will talk about that a bit more. Kind of I guess you could say, big news overnight was China announcing they're going to be releasing reserves. It's not exactly new news, and we really don't know any more details. It did seem to affect the market enough to drop around 100 points at the time, and it kind of seems to be settling there. One of the quotes I read on Reuters was, they say, we will not pressure market prices. So everybody rest assured, no problems from this. And of course, one of the things we'll want to ask about this is, what quality cotton are they releasing? If it's not high quality, and we certainly don't think it will be, how much does that affect the market? Because we've kind of got the two different markets, but anyway, let me talk a bit about the non-event WASDE report from yesterday. It was pretty much a non-event, and I can kind of understand why. It's a bit of an unusual June in that with the planting behind like it is, they just didn't have hard data. And so it kind of seemed to me like that they said, boy, we better just wait till next month to make any really big changes. Global production was raised 70,000 bales, and global consumption was raised 20,000 bales, with Turkey being the largest increase of 100,000 in that. Global ending stocks were lowered a net 210,000 bales to 106 million, and of course, 59% of those will still be in China. Machine pick stocks are at a low not seen since 2011, and we can't forget those two different markets with this machine pick stock still being low. And we'll keep an eye on the two and see how that all plays out. July has been trading in a range between 59 and 68 for about 9 months now, and that same 9 months, December's been in an even tighter range of 61 to 67. That's definitely boring. It's definitely frustrating and difficult to get positions on. I just keep telling myself that's better than being extremely volatile and all over the place. And the optimist in me keeps saying it's still our best bet for longer-term prices to remain boring. So I'm trying to see this in a very positive outlook. We see exports and shipping increase at the bottom of the range, and demand seems to fade out as prices move to the top. And, you know, we can talk about many things that will break us out of this. And in my opinion, El Nino is going to be the big market maker this year, and how it affects really all over the world. In Texas, here's kind of where we are on planting. And the upper Gulf Coast seem to be able to get everything planted. I'm hearing that the Rio Grande Valley and Coastal Bend area may have lacked about 300,000 acres getting everything planted because of the wet. For us here in West Texas, you just can't believe the difference in today and 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, there was almost a panic because there were very few cottonseed in the ground because it had just been wet the entire month of May, which is extremely unusual for us. And cloudy days, we'd get a big rain and then stay cloudy and water still standing in the furrows 3 and 4 days later. And we don't have that here. I know other people do, but we don't. Mm-hmm. And 2 weeks ago, there was huge concern about getting the crop planted. And there's been a lot of cottonseed go in the ground. And best I can tell, we will reach pretty well all of our planting goals. Everybody will have met the deadline that was last night at midnight for the June the 10th planting date. North of Lubbock from Highway 70 north, and that's about an hour north of Lubbock, anywhere there north, they may be down, and this is just speculation by talking to different people. It's appearing that they're going to be maybe 50% down from the 581,000 acres they planted last year. Some of that is due to the rains that came right at their May 31st deadline. And some of it was they were already anticipated to be about 35% less acres than last year. So a little bit of combination things for there. From that line to Lubbock, it appears that the decrease in acres that USDA had projected, I'm going to say are going to be pretty close. And then from Lubbock south, I think they're going to be very close. If you wanted to put cotton in, you got the chance pretty well. And last year, if you had a June 5th deadline, there were roughly 2 million acres planted, and then June the 10th, there were 1.1 million acres. This was here in Texas. So we'll see how those numbers play out. We know they're going to be down a bit, and I don't think USDA is going to be off a lot. I think it is going to be a little bit less than that. The last 2 weeks here, again, I can't say enough about what perfect weather we've had. We haven't even had wind conditions in the last 2 weeks. And most of West Texas, Panhandle, South Plains area has had 12 to 14 inches of rain in the month of May. And I know for us, 17 inches is a yearly average. So we've had a very unusual May. First cotton plantings are done pretty well across the state. There are still about 150,000 acres that still have a June 20th deadline. But it's going to be very interesting to see the June reports. And they may not have all their data together by then. We may have to wait until July to have really, really hard data this year. And that's one of the things that makes it unique. Of course, every year is unique in the cotton world, and that's how this one is setting up to be. I think as far as the U.S., we're probably going to be closer to 9 million acres than the 9.55 they had projected. I'm certainly not going to try to make any estimate of exactly where that's going to fall out. In the global picture, prevented planting acres changed to other crops at the last minute. I just don't think are the big story. It's how the crop develops from this point through the harvest. There's still excellent potential for yields, although the crop is behind. So the weather across the summer, and of course in West Texas, we always have to have the warm dry September, and this year's going to be no exception to that. The next hurdle here in Texas is this weekend's predicted moisture event. The Panhandle area has had some predictions of up to 4 inches of rain, and that's some of the areas that have been hardest hit with the rain anyway. And then I'm hearing that the Coastal Bend area could also be hit. So, you know, we'll see how that plays out. Monday may be a whole different story. And then this El Nino event is affecting the monsoon season in India. And the Indian government has already said that they believe the monsoon is going to be smaller than normal. So we get to watch worldwide weather and all of it going back to El Nino. A bright spot in the cotton world has been the export. If the wheels don't just fall off the export bus totally, we're definitely going to exceed USDA's 10.7 million bale export estimate, and that will reduce our large carryover stocks. For all practical purposes, we're out of the high-end cotton. Everything that's left has some sort of defect, whether it's lower high mic, bark, poor grade, something like that. And you know, we've got the two markets. We've got cotton, and then we've got premium cotton. We're pretty well out of premium, and we've got quite a bit somewhere around base grade with some sort of defect on it. What mills are scrambling for is this premium quality cotton that we're low on, and how that will really affect the market is kind of the story to watch, I believe. I read somewhere this week that someone was saying the real price discovery is happening in the basis, and I really agree with that. We're not really seeing the futures market do it as much as the basis. And we've seen this wide basis typically between the two qualities, and it's kind of staying that way. And this is coming because of the shift in the textile industry. We've shifted from more open-end spinning to now more ring spun, and they're just needing a higher quality cotton. And so that's changing and evolving in a market, and it's going to be interesting to watch the total evolution as we go. And I think it's more important than ever for us to grow for quality here in the U.S. Speculators, I don't think, always see this. They just see the huge carryover numbers that tell them we've got these huge world stocks, and I know recently it's kind of had them fall out of love with cotton. Their bullish positions are down 65% from where they were at the beginning of May. There was a Wall Street article earlier this week talking about that, and you know those articles never mention the fact that we are pretty well out of premium quality and the mills need that. They're pretty well in a hand-to-mouth situation with that. And the futures market can't quite do its function like we've seen it do in the past because of this separation. Anyway, I think because we're so short on the premium cotton that it's going to help us support the market at these lows that we've had. Some talk is coming from the floor of the exchange that due to this 10-year low volume in the trade short in July, we could see a nice run-up in these last 2 weeks of July before first notice day. You know, that'll be interesting to see, and sometimes the information we get from the floor of the exchange can be extremely interesting. So we'll watch that. As for getting this crop hedged, I'm typically pretty anxious to have a little bit of it hedged by now because historically the highs in the market are usually in somewhere by the end of June. When it was up around the 66, 67 level, I kind of felt like we needed to put some in, and I think we'll get another shot up in that area and could even go up to 72 or somewhere in there, but somewhere in that area, we need to get some hedges put on. Right now, a December 63 put is only 2 cents, and I think that's a fairly decent price. Or you can do a bear put spread of a 66 and a 60 for a total investment of 250 points. So, you know, there's some things you can do in there that aren't all that expensive, and it is a nice insurance to get on your crop. As far as where I see this market going. We're still in this range, and I don't see us breaking out unless we get some big news that we weren't expecting, or weather. I still think weather could be a huge thing to get us out of here. And this is going to be a tough year to have the discipline to get your hedges in, because it is in the range. It is not exactly where we would like prices. We would like to see them higher before we start putting hedges in. Just if you put the money into the crop to get it in the ground, don't forget that this market can always go lower than any of us think it could, and you don't want to risk your livelihood on that happening. So just be disciplined and get you a plan on how to put them in there. But that's kind of my thoughts for this morning, Pat.
Pat, you there?
Yes, yes. We want to open this up to anybody on our panel. Anyone want to ask questions of Kelly or make any of their statements about the market? I'll start off and ask a question for anyone, and Kelly, you can address this. You know, there's been some talk in the past about a different contract, maybe a contract at the exchange at ICE that better reflects the higher quality trend now that mills want. Has anyone heard if this is in the works or if this is a viable thing?
Well, Pat, I'm on pour cold water on that, and nothing's intended. But you know, that's been a fight that's been going on since the 1960s, and it's always talked about. And there's always talk that there's going to be action, and then there's never any action. Those few folks that have the political power to control the written contract have just been able to exercise that for two generations now. And they're very comfortable trading a strict low minimum into the 16th contract. And just as forever, the market was very comfortable, the traders were very comfortable trading the number one contract before we switched to the number two. So I don't see it coming yet. I'd love to see it coming if we want to have a true price discovery, but I don't see it and have not heard of any positive action anyway.
Okay. A question for Gerald. Gerald, talk to us about weather in your area and in Arizona, the cotton crop.
Well, in general, the crop in out west is in pretty good shape. It's not as in good a shape as it was a year ago, but it's progressing pretty well. There's some spots of race four for Fusarium wilt keep showing up in places here in California, and a couple places that it hadn't been showing up. So that's a little bit problematical, but I haven't heard any wholesale complaining about anything except, you know, for water. And of course, water is getting to be, I guess the big brouhaha here in Bakersfield, if you can call it that, is, you know, they think the current river might go dry in the summertime. So they were going to shut the water off to one of the local county golf courses, well, probably the favorite local county golf course, but it doesn't have a whole lot to do with cotton. But cotton is just progressing pretty well. We're seeing flowers at the end of this week, which is a little ahead of normal. You move along the river between California and Arizona, and those guys couldn't be happier. That crop is as good as it's ever looked. You know, unfortunately, the acreage is small, but they're really expecting some good things there along the river. These monsoons that we tend to monsoons are coming in a little bit earlier because the difficulty out in the Pacific, a couple of these storms, and in fact, we got rain in Bakersfield last night, which is quite unusual for California, but these storms are going to move across the cotton belt. I don't think that it's going to rain particularly hard at any one place, but it, you know, it's going to relieve some moisture, cool some things off for some people, and probably generally be beneficial. Central Arizona is kind of have two crops in Central Arizona. People who got the crop in early were able to get the crop in early. It looks fantastic. The stuff that came in a little bit later is probably a little bit behind times. If you look at the heat units, and I say this because if you look at the heat units, really since March, they're equal to or above normal. But we had a cool spell, and since I think April, heat units are actually a little bit behind. So if you're able to get your crop in early, it looks great. A little bit later, you're running a little bit behind, but things are starting to catch up a little bit. Southeastern Arizona, at the little higher elevation, that crop looks as good as it can. So really, I would say that the crop in California and Arizona is certainly average to an above average crop. It's not excellent like it has been, but it certainly looks very good. Not too much complaining, Pat.
All right, for either for OA or Kip, both of you, give us your view on the conditions in the Mid South and in the Southeast.
Go ahead, Kip.
Well, I've been kind of out of the office here for a while, and I've been told that conditions have improved in as much as it's quit raining for a while. Some of these areas, though, particularly in Tennessee, I hear in Arkansas, maybe in a little bit Mississippi, but I know in Tennessee we've had a bit of acreage zeroed out that we didn't expect. Some of the insurance folks have come in, and we just had a real poor stand. I don't think that's widespread, but I was kind of surprised to hear it. Recently, though, I understand that the crops have, in fact, improved with the drier weather. And so I'm a little bit behind the scene. Oh, well, you may have a little better information. I'm sure you do than what I'm able to provide right now. And if you would like to contribute, I'd appreciate that. Kind of help me out here.
Well, I know you did. That's really pretty much what it is. There are just a few areas that are a little bit behind, and it's still – what, first week, second week, not even the middle of June, so there is far more than ample time to ramp it up. It's not a concern, bottom line, period.
Okay. Back to Kelly. Kelly, you know, you talked about the possibility of, you know, wet weather, El Nino. Talk to us about what will that do as far as the quality goes, if we turn out to have an unusually wet El Nino-like fall for Texas?
Well, you know, the crop is behind now. Overall, we just have to say we're a couple of weeks behind. And so, you know, we can manage a little bit and kind of catch this crop up depending on how many heat units we get. See, the other part of El Nino that they're predicting for us is the cooler weather. They say it will be the coolest summer we've had in many of a year. Depends on how much cooler and exactly what that looks like. Depends on where we are on heat units come the 1st of September. But if we go into September a little bit behind and then we have a wet September, that typically leads to bark. It can lead to low mic, several different issues like that that could really, and it, if it's severe enough, it can even shorten the staple. So, you know, a lot of it depends on how the weather is between now and then exactly what September looks like. But it can make a huge difference for us.
And
Eli, you gave an excellent report. Let me make one comment that I think you implied, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but yes, the crop's behind right now, but that, you know, if I may, and please jump on this if you feel like you need to, it's still the 1st of June, so to speak, so if it's 2 weeks behind, it's really very much on time. Now, as
exactly,
you say, you
yeah.
get out to the 1st of September, and if it's 2 weeks behind, then then it truly is behind. It truly is late if you get out that far. So as you said earlier, it's going to depend on what happens tomorrow, the next day. And go ahead, excuse me.
Well, I was going to jump in. This is John.
Right. And if I was not clear on that, I want to be. Don't count us out. We can make more with less than you would ever believe, and the exact opposite is true. So we still have excellent potential for above average yields and excellent quality. Will we have that? We don't know. But right now the potential is still there from less abandoned acres than some are predicting. So in my opinion, it's just too early to rule anything out for us. And, you know, we're just not going to know anything for a while. But right now we've got more potential than we've had since the 2010 crop, most definitely.
Yeah,
John,
I'm going to follow that up. It's Texas. It's going to be hot enough as far as heat units and catching up. I think where it's mostly an issue would be in the southern part of the state, because the places where they were forced to plant a little bit for insurance purposes or got in a crop, it's really, really late. Now, it'll catch up with heat units too, but they run into a problem of, you know, tropical moisture that kicks in August and whatnot. So either from that or from this El Nino stuff, where I'm looking for a possible effect on quality, be down there, you know, poor color grades or whatever from catching rain when it's maturing. And just because that's also the area where you generally source the new bales, the new crop from, if there's a shortage of quality bales, that might lead to what Kelly had mentioned with, a continuation of this basis, this premium for available quality if there's a shortage of quality in this new crop. And it might start there if it's, you know, a rainy fall.
Okay. Let's go around the panel and ask for December cotton what the thought is on how low we can go, how high we can go. And, OA Cleveland has asked to go first. OA, why don't you give us your thoughts?
Well, Brett, I guess I missed asking, but I thought I was sleeping here. But I don't mind people waking me here this early in the morning. I think probably we have got this nine-month trading range, and I'm sticking with it. That December is, I guess technically we have to call the bottom of the range around 63 cents. Might take it a little bit lower, and the top of the range around 67.5 cents, maybe 68 cents. More specifically, I would say that we've settled pretty much into around a 64 and a half, between 64 and 65 cent bottom, with still the 67.5, 68 cent top. And I would see that primarily as where we are. If in fact we see a close above 67.5, then I think we're open to about 70 cents anyway. And if I just do not think we will see December now close below 63, 62.5, something in that area. So that has to be my absolute low, despite this Chinese stuff. We only, this recent announcement, this overnight announcement, which, as Gerald pointed out, is really nothing new. It's been out there, and as Kip pointed out, that we have to be very concerned about the quality they have, that they don't have any high-quality cotton left, period. And they have pretty much said that themselves, and they have said that one thing that they have said was that earlier they said they would let the market fall where it would fall, and apparently I didn't see it, but you indicated that, or someone, excuse me, indicated this morning that they had said they would not pressure the market or would not dump it in a, I don't think those were their words, but that's what I gleaned from what had been said. But I don't see us breaking out of this trading range unless we get some new information.
Okay, Kip, give us your thoughts on price range for December.
Well, I'm going to have to agree very closely with what Owe said. The one I'm going to go out a little farther and say that during the course of the year, of course, we're going to have to look at the size of the crop and the quality of the crop. But I watch very closely the demand for cotton. Cotton product demand is still relatively, I won't say weak, but certainly not strong right now. Chinese yarn prices have continued to slide, particularly the carded yarns, and Indian prices for yarn has also begun to slip, which tells me that, you know, we've got some downstream problems. So if we get a, I couldn't agree more with what Kelly said, you know, we've got the potential to have a very large crop if everything falls in place. So I'm not going to, you know, carve in stone that this 63, 62 and a half cents would be the low. We could certainly move lower than that, but that's going to take some time. We've got to have a, you know, a better idea. We've got to be down the line for this crop actually growing and getting an idea of how much cotton we've got. Demand to me still is a paramount concern. The polyester prices, although they did go up for a while in Asia, looks like they're starting to stabilize and actually have gone down the last few days. I hope they don't go down much farther because, again, that just sort of hurts the demand for cotton worldwide. So I like the top end of Owe's range, but I'm saying down the road we might actually we could break down and go a little bit lower.
Okay. John Robinson?
The way I would look at it is it's similar to what everybody's saying, but allowing for some contingencies, I would just put a 10-cent range between 61 and 71.
Okay. Let's go to Gerald.
Well, playing cleanup batter here. It's hard to disagree with anything that anybody said. I get back to Kelly's original note when she said that this market's been such a tight trading range. You know, it's hard to get a grip on where we think prices might go. It's certainly going to be a weather-driven market. You've got Kip makes an excellent point on the polyester. It seems like the polyester press releases are, you know, the press room is working overtime to convince everybody that that polyester is the new fiber, and why would you ever, you know, use a natural fiber again? So cotton has got some real issues, I guess, going forward in trying to, you know, recapture demand and convince consumers that it still remains the superior fiber, not only in terms of performance, but I think just choice among consumers. We've got to grow that demand base. Then doesn't matter how big or small supply is. If you're not consuming it that doesn't matter. So, and I would agree with John. You know, 61 to 71 cents until we get something more definitive moving forward. I don't think we'll stay in a 4-cent trading range for the next 12 to 15 months. It'll break out somehow and expand. We just don't have a clear enough picture to know that right now.
Okay. Kelly, let's go back to you. Would you kind of sum up what you were thinking on price for December?
I originally said 63 to 72 just because I really feel like our floor is in. It would take something we're really not expecting to push it down below that. And, of course, sure, usually when I really have something I think is that firm is when I'm really wrong. So we, you know, take that into consideration. But when I run technical analysis, my lines are so close together on such a narrow trading range, it's really hard to get a very good technical picture, but the picture that I do get, I think we have a small bias to the upside. We're getting a little bit higher lows, and the top is a little bit more flat. which typically indicates a slight bias to the upside, but it's so slight I can't really say it's there. So if I were going to have to put money on it, I would say we will break out to the upside of this range, but I say that with fear and trepidation at the same time, and also realize I'm a farmer and I want prices to go up, so sometimes I'm driven more by what I want than what is really in front of me. But and when I say 72 on the up, I think that would be a weather event or, there again, some sort of really encouraging news that suddenly polyester doesn't look as promising, you know, something in there that would drive the market to that. And remember, the longer we stay in this trading range and the tighter it gets, typically it's a stronger move out in whichever direction it goes. And so we may all have egg on our face when it does break out and it goes so much farther than any of us expected.
I think you're on the ball.
Okay.
It's fun to watch.
All right.
Eddie, if I may, just a minute, you know, what Gerald said, we got to break out of this 4-cent trading range sooner or later. And then, as Kelly just amplified, a typically active market's going to trade 25 cents during the year from the top to bottom, a 25-cent price spread. I think the late Carl Anderson had, over the past few years, had kind of changed that and said the typically active market's going to kind of trade through about 30 cents. So, yeah, something's going to happen. Go ahead.
Any other comments? All right, well, let's wrap up for today. We want to thank, again, our sponsors, Bayer Crop Science, Cotton Incorporated, and Farm Press Publications, and we want to thank our cotton panel and our special guest, Kelly Merritt. I want to remind people that the E3 report that normally comes out at 7:30 is delayed today. It'll be here shortly, about 8:15. We'll do that on the exports and market comments. And also remind people that next month is our New York Cotton Market Roundtable. The date for that is the 24th of July. We'll keep people posted on that. It will be at 7:30 a.m. Central Time. This year it will be a live video. It will be live video from New York that people can watch. Joe Nicosia will be with us there, has agreed to be our guest speaker. So we want to let people know about that. So that's really it. Thanks to everyone for joining us today. Thanks for Kelly Merritt for being with us. And we look to see you next month. Thank you.